All right, we're starting tonight into the beginning. It's just the start right at the foundation. And we're kind of looking at the idea of the institution of the home. And I think that most of us would say that God did that, but we're going to kind of look at what that means. And I think as I was going through it, I think next year this will, we may say that for every lesson, all right, but next year this will be one I think that easily we can expand on next year as far as the institution of the home. To say that the family is in disrepair and in a state of deterioration in America is an understatement. The biblical home has been on a target by the liberals in politics. It has been usurped by public education aggressively for close to about four decades or more, and it has been undermined even by church denominations for many, many years now. There's the promotion of men such as Bill Maher, who have scoffed at religion and Christianity as a crutch. And so then they come in and say that, you know, just it's silliness. And then you have public education assumption that they are the responsible parties in the home. In fact, I just found this article. This was written October 8th, so this was Tuesday. Tuesday, on October 8th, there was in Australia a top psychologist group representing 24,000 psychologists in Australia. I don't even know that there's that many people in Australia. I think it's a one-to-one ratio with psychologists and people there. But think of this. So the main psychology group, 24,000 psychologists in Australia, claim children should neither have to get parental consent nor undergo mandatory counseling to undergo irreversible gender transition surgeries. Think of what they just said. So you know how I mentioned that there's an undermining of the home? So what did the psychologists just do? They just said they sidestep and basically children get to decide whatever. Well, who brought you into this world? I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer there, but it happens when you get away from biblical foundations. And so that was that one. I read this. This was yesterday. Yesterday, an article. Kids, this is from Canada, right? From Canada. Parents in Canada have filed a class action lawsuit against Epic Games, the company that made the popular video game Fortnite. The distraught plaintiffs accused the devious minds behind Fortnite of intentionally creating it to be as addictive as possible. This addiction has destroyed their children's lives, they say. The lawsuit says that one of the supposedly addicted children has played around 1,800 Fortnite matches in 7 months. Okay? While others have logged about 7,000 matches. Now, Google, if you just do your extensive research through Google, because Google knows everything. So you just say, all right, so how long does a Fortnite match take? Google will say that it takes 20 minutes. So if this kid has logged in 1,800 games or 7,000 matches or whatever, they've spent at least 600 hours and some of them 2,000 hours doing video games. Now, my problem with this is that the parents are suing them. Why don't you just unplug it? What in the world? Like, it's their fault. You know, I don't understand these videos. Go over, grab it, and throw it in the garbage. It's unbelievable. Right? But it's the mindset today. It's everybody else's fault. Everybody else has to do whatever. So, again, that's another article. Then, this was today. All right, so this is this week. You might have seen this, Kaiser Permanente. I remember going to Kaiser. Kaiser was one of the big hospital organizations in the Cleveland, Ohio area. So growing up, that's where I would go and get the physicals for school and all that. But they just came out with a 60-second online national video. And this is, I'm trying to get it all together. Okay, so this is what it does. It's titled, To Them We Say. And it's 60 seconds. It begins with a voiceover saying, there are those who will say that you are too fat, too skinny, too old. And it eventually, through the ad, shows a drag queen reading and dancing for laughing children. And then it continues on and it says, those who will say, and it's showing all of that, say that this is too much. It says, at Kaiser Permanente, we believe everybody deserves the right to thrive. And then at the end, it says, basically, if you're one of those that says this is too much, it ends with the phrase, too bad. All right? So what are all of these people saying? Here's Australia, the group of 24,000 psychologists. Here's Canada, its parents that are upset at the video game. And here's a medical industry that's coming out saying, hey, if you don't like it, too bad. No, it's all an attack on the home. It's all an attack on the home. A very simple, I think, illustration of this is even in the music culture. I think of the music culture, and I'm talking even about Christian music, and not necessarily here. But all you have to do is be a little bit in tune in America that you see that there's just a whole bunch of silliness. The music culture in our society, and this includes the Christian, all right, and I put that in quotes, the Christian music industry, has virtually destroyed a basic Christian value. You know what that's called? Silence. Silence. Calmness. The sheer noise, even nice-sounding noise in many homes today, would make many of our great-grandparents go out to the pasture, not because they're older, but because they want it quiet. They want it quiet. Where in all the loudness of modern worship music and idolizing of favorite groups and the scrambling for each new CD or iTunes and the bickering over how loud to play, is there a reverent sense of God anymore? That's just a simple illustration. And most of you know that. Where is God in that? Where is God in our homes anymore? And so, as we begin, I want us to think about then, is there an attack on the home? I think all of us understand there is. So, as we begin there, I gave you some words, and you can find other words, and that would be something that you can just look at over time. Again, I have some additional stuff, and we're not going to be able to cover all of it. My main thing is to cover our main 3 points. So this, as an introduction, I put some Bible words regarding the home. There's home, there's family, there's marriage, Mary, and not as in the person Mary, but to be married or marry somebody, married. There's the husband, wife, children. There's other words, and those are scattered throughout Scripture. The home, when you look up the home, normally, it means a place. It doesn't necessarily mean what we're thinking as far as a culture, because it's meaning almost a house most of the time that the word home is used in the Bible. So we're going to look at our three main points. So Roman numeral one, number one, God established the home. God established the home. So where do we see that? It's found simply in Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Okay, so here we see in verse 26 of chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. All right, so verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Okay, and then verse 29, 30, and 31 gives us a couple other things, and it says it was very good. So then, look at verse 18. And in verse 18, we often use this when it comes to marriage. But again, this is talking about the establishment of the home. So in chapter 2, in verse 18, and the Lord said, Lord God said, what it is not good. So that's the first time in Genesis 1 and 2. It's the first time basically for us at the beginning of time for man that God said something was not good. So what was not good? It was not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help, meet for him. And out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and he brings them to Adam. And so Adam is, as they're doing his job that he's left, that God has left for him. And then in verse 21, the difference that we see, and I think it's purposeful that you notice that in verse 19, what does it say? Out of the ground, God made what? The animals. But Eve was not made out of the ground. Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Okay, so here we see that woman was made differently than the animals. And so this helps us in understanding God making things, God establishing things. He's establishing a home. And he's, and so even a wife, there's this idea, a caveman idea that the wife is, you know, something different, you know. Well, it's made out of man. So it's a very special relationship, the husband and wife relationship. And then God brings her unto the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And verse 24 and 25 are quoted. If you want the passage in Matthew, it's Matthew 19 and verses 3 through 9. Matthew 19 and verse 3 through 9. We see that Christ quotes this passage in verse 24, and not verse 25, but basically in verse 24. So in Matthew chapter 19, so the Pharisees come, and in verse 4, and he said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So what were the Pharisees asking about? They were asking about divorce and remarriage. So they were asking a home question, weren't they? So God, or Christ, given to us, he defines by going back to the Genesis pattern to help us to understand what the home is. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? So, hey, it's in the book of Genesis. He made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So what are we seeing in this passage? We're seeing God's pattern. God's pattern for a home. One man, one woman. And it's specific in verse 4. Because Christ is quoting and he's going back to the Genesis. And I'm telling you, I remember Pastor Lewis was just about a month ago on a Sunday night. He was talking a little bit about soul winning and talking about his church. And I was just talking to him or texting back and forth this week. And he's in October He basically is taking Sunday morning, and I think Sunday night, he's taking the LGBTQ issue and going through it scripturally there in Chicago. And it's purposeful. Right? If you know anything about Chicago, it's a hotbed for iniquity, immorality. And so, but he wants his people to understand biblically. What is the attack on? The attack is on what God calls a home. God established the home. So our point number one underneath this, God establishes then the contents of the home. So what are the contents of the home? According to Christ, who is quoting Genesis, it is a man and a woman that are brought together in marriage. Notice what it says. The father, they leave father and mother, and they come together in basically marriage. That's what we call marriage. So living together is not a home. Living together isn't a home. What is a home? It's a man and a woman coming together, and they understand that God means them to be together. So that is the husband and wife relationship. That is the content. So God established the contents. I didn't establish it. So when somebody comes and they say, wait a minute, you know what? I really like this. It's a man. And he says, I really like this man. And that should be a home. No, I'm sorry. Why? Because God established the contents of the home. I did not establish it. God did. So why is there an attack on God's word then? You know why? Because you do away with this, then it's your opinion and my opinion. Well, so, I mean, what makes you God? I'm not actually. I am not God. What I have is his book, though. And his book establishes the home, right? God established the home, and then he established the contents of the home. There are some people that say, well, then, so what makes up a home? Well, according to the Bible here, yes, children can be a part of that, but a husband and a wife make up a home. That's simply it. Now, if God blesses with children, great, but according to the Bible, a home is a husband and a wife. It's a man and a woman, male and female, right? It's not two females, all right? And even now, I don't know if you noticed that all of a sudden Hollywood is getting all nasty with their stuff too, like revealing stuff. It's not having a couple of women and a man, or a couple of men and a woman. Right? I don't know if you've been paying attention, but all of a sudden Hollywood people are coming out saying all these weird things that they're doing. I'm sorry, that ain't a home. Why? Because it's a man and it's a woman. And that's it. And those two brought together is the contents of a home. So, in our point here, what are we saying? God established the home. Right? Or he established the home. He established the contents. Number two, he established the roles. Where do we find that? We find that in Genesis 3, so you can write that down. But another passage in the New Testament, which I think is a really good passage, is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says this in verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So, right there in Scripture, what is laid out for us? It's laid out for us, God established the roles. So, in my home, I'm the head of my home. Actually, I'm not, according to the Bible. Who's the head of my home? Christ. If it's a godly home, Christ is the head of my home. Christ is the head. That's according to this. Every man, the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And so, guess what? That's God established the role. So then I come into Scripture and I try to understand, okay, what's man's role in the home? What's the woman's role in the home? And we do not, and we'll talk about that at the end. We'll kind of quickly flow through these because I want to get to some points at the end. So he established the roles. Number three, God established the rules. God established the rules. There are some rules that should be very evident in a home. Let me look at your outline and see if, I don't know if I put it in here. Do you have points underneath that or no? You do? Okay, so let me list those out. And then you can look up some scripture on them. Is there scripture listed there? No? All right, so let me list out. So God should be a priority. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We also find that in Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. God should be a priority. It's very clearly Deuteronomy 6. Again, some of this is made to where you can do some of your own personal study on family on your own. So God should be a priority. Secondly, Scripture should be preeminent. That's Deuteronomy 4, 9, and 10. And also Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 7. Scripture should be preeminent. These are, again, God's rules. These aren't things that I set. These are things that God set in motion. Thirdly, the home should be orderly. Where do we find that? Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, you can look through it, but specifically verse 27, it talks about the virtuous woman. And one of the evidences is that there is order in the home. Okay, so the home should be orderly. But then also it talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's talking about a pastor's home. But the pastor's home, it's saying that's an example. And what's an example? It's ruled well. All right, it's in order. And that sets a tone for the homes in a church. Okay, so it's orderly. Thirdly, the home should have unity. The home should have unity. Psalm 133 talks about that. All right, so under this, and I want to get to number four, all right, because we're already getting bogged down in our outline. Right, Carlos? Carlos says he was wondering if this was a thesis, all right. It's like, man, he said, normally we get a half page. This is front and back, 8.5 by 11. Telling you, can't please anybody. You give them too much, you know what I mean? Just more of the word. Carlos. All right, anyways, number four. All right, so God established the home. He established the contents, the roles, the rules, and he also established the purposes of the home. I find four purposes in the Bible of the home. Four purposes. You could probably find more. And if so, give them to us. Okay, but I think you probably could find more. But as I was going through scripture, I find four. One is to bring glory to God. The home, a biblical home, brings glory to God. Why? Because that's the purpose of every life. So my home, so one thing that is easy for you scripturally to do in your home when you're deciding on doing something, hey, well, together as a family, will this bring glory to God? That will solve probably some sin problems in your home, won't it? Well, hey, I was thinking tonight that as a family, we're going to go to the bar. All right, so let's sit down and pray about that. Will that bring glory to God tonight? Well, I guess I'm going to change our plans. Okay, it'll help you. That's one of the purposes of your home. Secondly, okay, this sounds odd, but the home was established to rule the earth. To rule the earth. You saw that in Genesis 1, and you'll also see it in Genesis 2. All right, man and woman were brought together, and what did God tell them to do? He told them to replenish, but he said subdue it. So guess what? My dog, it's okay to put him on a chain. Okay? Like, oh, look what you're doing to that dog. Guess what man does? He subdues. He rules the earth. And so he shouldn't be mean. But guess what, man? Our society is so messed up. All right? You save an owl and you kill a baby. You know why? Again, guess what happened? It's out of whack because we took the Bible. Man is the preeminent creature. He was made differently. How is he made differently? God formed man and woman. Did he form the creatures a little bit? The animals were different. What? They were made out of dirt. They were made differently. They weren't that special creation that God took time with man and woman. All right, so to rule the earth, number three, to bring fellowship to each other. Where do I see that? In Genesis 2. Remember what God said? It's not good that man is alone. So guess what? Some people are like, you know what? I want to get married because I'm lonely. That's actually legitimate. That's a legitimate statement there. Yes, that's one of the purposes. Is, hey, I'd like to have some companionship. All right, and according to God, God noticed that with man and said, it's not good that he's alone. I'll make him somebody that basically they're together. And I think you notice that in Genesis chapter 2 that it says it's not good that he's alone. And then it goes into that Adam was doing his job. And what was he doing? He's bringing all these animals. He's naming them. He's taking care of them. And I think what he noticed is that, hey, even the dog's got a girlfriend. You know what? I got nobody. Got no friends. All right. So to bring fellowship to each other. Then four, to raise a godly seed. All right. It says to be fruitful and multiply. So that is to procreate is actually one of the reasons that a husband and wife do come together. So that's point number one. We got to quickly move on. All right, so point number two, and this one, I will have you do some study on it, all right, because I want to talk a little bit about point three at the end here. So number two, all right, so number one was God established the home. Number two, man maintains the home. Now, what do we mean by that? I don't just leave it up to God. Man maintains the home. So what does this mean for you and I? God has transferred the work of the home to man. That's you guys. That is dad and mom. So don't say, you know what, I don't understand it. I'm supposed to take care of the kids? Yes, you actually are. It's not God's job. It's your job. It's your job. He's transferred the work of the home to man. It is our job then to, nowhere in the scripture do you see that anybody else is responsible but dad and mom. Right? So, all of the bloggers out there that are blaming us for bad kids. Guess what? They don't know their Bible. They don't know their Bible. Show me in scripture where a church is responsible for the children in the church. Tell me. Now, we are responsible for the truth. We are responsible for imparting the truth. We are the church, according to Timothy, is the pillar and ground of the truth. So where in the world do they get off at saying, you know what, that church there? Actually, go to your mom and dad. Now, you may say, that's mean. That's Bible. That's what the Bible is very clear on that. Show me in scripture. Take Achan. What happened with Achan? Right? He was responsible for all his house. Look at Joshua in Joshua 24. What does Joshua say? We're going to serve the Lord and my house. I don't know about everybody else, but my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? Because he could take ownership of his house. Man maintains the home. God established it, but then he transfers it and says, hey, man, it's yours now. You maintain that work. So God has transferred the work. Number two on there, God expects man to maintain the home. Then number three, God provided government and churches to assist in this. And this is where we don't have a ton of time, but there is scripture to back that up. 1 Timothy 3:15 is where the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Hebrews 10, Acts 2, that's the church government. Actually, a good passage to study on that is Romans 13. And what you'll see is that government is there to help assist you in your home. All right? A good government. That's why, and I listed down for myself 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul instructs Timothy and says, pray for your leaders. Why? Why do you pray for them? Because they can help you. You have a good government. Guess what they help you do? They help you in your home. Because they punish sin. Now, when you have a bad government, guess what they do? They lift up sin. But, so is it the government's fault that your kids go bad? If you relinquish your rights to the government. And that's our point number three. Okay? Point number three is the enemies of the home. Point number three is the enemies of the home. And I just put down three of them. Because as I got thinking about this, and this is where I think we could delve into and go a little deeper sometime as far as the enemies of the home. Because, all right, so if God established the home, as I was trying to think about it and study this, so if God established the home, then how can I find the enemies? God established it. The enemies of God are the enemies of your home. I don't think it's a weird leap for us. And what are the three main enemies of God? The world, the flesh, and the devil. So guess what, Dad and Mom, in each area, you need to be careful. So what is the world? It's the world system. We're not talking about the world as far as, I knew it, national parks. They are out to get my kids. I'm not talking about the Grand Canyon. I'm not talking about the world that way. What I'm talking about, it's talking about the world's philosophy, isn't it? The world system. So what's the world system, Dad and Mom? All right, try to disagree with me, but today, it's public education. It's public universities. You better be scared to death of that world system. Why? Because guess what it's going to do? Remember? Right away. You can read articles basically every day, and I do not recommend that because what it'll do, and don't read that instead of scripture. I would recommend reading more scripture instead of articles, like conservative articles, because scripture uplifts you, conservative articles depress you. Okay? Because it's like it's worse. It's worse. All right, but I get in scripture, I'm like, you know what? The Bible tells me that in the last days it's going to be like that, and so Jesus is coming. All right, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I need to be aware, and guess what the world is going to push its system on us, and we need to be careful. The world has its music. The world has its lifestyle. The world has, it's this world. Even in America, be careful that the world doesn't come in and rip apart some of the godly things in our home. All right, because guess what the world says? You know what? You need your time. The kids need their time. And so basically every home is just kind of doing their own thing, and they're never together. So how has that helped our society, never being together? Be careful of the world's idea. The world's idea is, and some of you have talked about this, that Dad, your job is to provide a home and educational funds for your kids. You know what? That's okay. But according to the Bible, God is preeminent. Scripture needs to be preeminent. Okay? then also, what else did we said that the home should be orderly. All right, that means the home, that's the hub. The home is. God established these rules. Now, so watch out for the world. And you say, oh, well, the world says this. Where's that at in Scripture? Let me line it up. Be careful. And so I know it can be busy. But you know what I think families should do? Cut out some things and maybe sit down once in a while and have dinner together. Wow. Yeah. The world says don't do it. Maybe the world now, and if the world says do it once in a while, maybe they're coming back to an idea of a right home. But the world, the flesh. So what does the flesh mean? Right, what does the flesh mean? The flesh is evident in a home when self is preeminent. That includes you, Dad. If I'm always hitting my chest saying, I'm the head of this home. You go listen to me. Right? And I'm just mouthing off all the time. You know what my kids are going to say? Wow, it's always about Dad. And wait, who is the head of my home? Actually, Christ. Christ is the head. And self needs to be pushed out of the home. There should be a downplaying of self and a godly attitude of service which needs to permeate. And this starts from the top down, not opposite. So there should be an evidence of service from Dad, Mom, and all the kids. You know how the kids will catch on to serving God? When they see Dad and Mom doing it. Come along and do it. Many husbands and fathers don't promote this because they present a wrong picture of that you're not presenting a Christ-centered life. You're number one, and you vocalize it. I'm the head. Listen to me. Don't you know who I am? And that's an arrogant rant about self. And it does little to build up Christ in the home. But it does well to introduce the flesh in the midst of the home. And pretty soon, your kids are doing the same thing. Flesh needs to be pushed down in the home. Do not make, and parents, it's your job. What is the enemy of the home? The world. So fight to keep the world out of your home. What's the enemy of a godly home? The flesh. So fight to keep the flesh limited in your home. And that is a limit on self. And what's the opposite of self? Service. Serving others. And then, of course, the devil. The devil. And I think all of us know this. I think that sometimes, and that would be a great study yourself to do. The devil is an enemy of a godly home. So what is he going to do? He's going to come in and try to split mom and dad. He's going to try to pit kids against parents. He's going to come in. And a lot of times, and I think you know this, the devil uses the flesh and the devil uses the world at his beck and call almost to help out. But you don't have to be scared. What you have to do is make sure that God is preeminent. It needs to be over and over and over. Now, we will come to this idea. All right, so how do you work on that? And that'll be in January. In January, we're going to talk a lot about the training, more about training. We're going to talk about discipline, but training is the key. And Deuteronomy 6 talks about that. So read that passage. And it tells you, Deuteronomy 6 uses the word diligently. Know what the word diligently has to be, the Hebrew behind that has the idea of a sculptor that is chiseling. And guess what a sculptor does nonstop? He keeps chiseling and chiseling and chiseling, and he keeps coming back and he keeps coming back and he keeps coming back. And in that passage, it's all referencing that we are diligently chiseling and chiseling and chiseling what? That God is preeminent and that Scripture is preeminent. So it should be all the time that, hey, kids, God's first in our home. So is that evident? When's the last time you read this book in your home? I'm not talking church. I'm talking your home. God established the home. Man maintains it. He maintains it by doing God's order. He follows God's rules. God set them. I didn't set them. He set the purposes. He set the guidelines. And then because it's a godly home, I know that God's enemies are my enemies. And that's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so as we start out, and my prayer is, so that's establishing, God established the home. So then, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at then the two main people in the home, and that is the husband and wife. All right, mom and dad. We're looking at mom and dad, the husband and wife, and say, okay, so that's the start of a home. And then if God blesses with children, then we'll move on to those lessons. And that'll be, I think, in January. Because basically, most of the rest of this fall, we're talking about God's institution of marriage. And then doing a couple ideas about parenting.